pleased to say the great man is on the line, Scotty Sattler. Good afternoon, Sats.
How are you, legend?
Did you recognise the music behind Paddy Welsh's dulcet tones?
Yeah, that was... they play that in Grand Final Day, don't they?
That's no, it.
God, you're good, Sats. Yeah. I did appreciate that text you sent me during the week, too, about that man in the UK that went back to work and...
Have you spoken about that yet, Brian?
No, we haven't. So for our listeners, there was a gentleman, because obviously over in the UK, they all went back to work.
Yep.
We had Freedom Day.
Yep.
When masks were off. Well, said man went back to work. I think he was in IT and he was just sitting at his desk and he realised, because he'd been locked down for like 3 or 4 months, he just got him had a cotton wool in the middle of the communal kitchen. And someone pulled him up about it, and they said, mate, what are you doing? He goes, oh, just he thought he was at home. Oh. He got away with it. He didn't lose his job.
Horrific defence.
Well, how would that... I mean, how did Badge keep... Is that how Badge kept his job?
Oh, I'm sick of Badge doing the show on a G-string every Friday night.
Yeah. Good stuff, Sats. Anyway, what about... you blokes have done it again. You've saved us. The great state of Queensland has saved the NRL again.
It's what we do. It's what we do. We saved Origin by allowing New South Wales to be victorious in 2021. And we saved it again, I suppose. A lot of moving parts in the space of 5 or 6 hours. And Abdo and PVL somehow pulled it off. And Alan Graham, the head of Suncorp Stadium as well, just saying, let's just throw every game here, another couple of games tonight. And it's great, isn't it? It's good not only that we get to play footy, but keep some people in jobs and... There's a lot of things I like about it.
Yeah, because our health advisor or chief medical officer, they call her Kerry Chant. Yours is Jeanette Young, my understanding is, but she was adamant.
Yes.
She was halfway through giving her press conference and basically said, "Nah, there'll be no sport, no NRL, no." So what changed in that hour or 24 hours?
I saw that live cut across. She took a step to the left, then a step to the right when they asked her that question. She didn't want to get too involved. But I think from what I'm led to believe is that what changed was that they had the protocols in place, but they advanced the protocols to a point where the players arrived at the ground. They didn't really have the regular warm-up like we've always seen in games where they haven't been going out in the oval. They've been doing a warm-up inside, not as long as what we've normally seen, which doesn't, you know, they're trying to minimise the contact with the public as much as possible. It's all officials and everything at the games. And then also you saw the players running on the field with masks on as well. Yeah. Interchange players had masks on as well. And then as soon as the game finished, they were straight up the tunnel, straight on the bus, straight back to the hotel. So they're basically just arriving at the stadium, playing, getting on the bus, going back to their quarantines.
Hey, Satsy, have you been immersed in the Olympics?
Love it. Can't get enough of it. I'm one of those... I mean, we had a lot of listeners that were saying, oh, I'm not getting into the Olympics this time, guys. It's just not... It's not lighting my fire. But I'm one of those guys that, you know, a few weeks out, I start looking at it as much as I can, finding out as much as I can about some of the athletes. I can't get enough of it. I love it. Absolutely love it.
I need to ask you a question, Sats, around... Typically on a Monday, and during the Olympics, we're just giving the Mondays off, the doyen of decisions, Lukey Patton. Now, where do we stand on this from Australians? Mm. So the share, well, first and foremost, what did you make of the shared gold in the high jump? And then I'll ask you the second part of the question.
Love it. I like it.
Yeah, we weren't big on
it. If I'm the guy that's not feeling that confident about getting over the bar, I'm accepting a gold every day of the week.
Yeah,
it's like
wouldn't you want it for yourself?
Is it like the? Yeah, I don't know. It goes against everything the Olympics is in the modern age, I suppose, is the winning and who comes second, whatever it may be. But yeah, I don't mind. I tell you what I loved. I loved the Italian high jumper who's standing there. In between his jumps and the 100-metre final finishes and the Italian wins it, he says, forget the high jump. I'm going to go celebrate with 100. He's the new Usain Bolt. I'm going to go celebrate with him. So he was off onto the track to celebrate with a 100-metre final winner. So I love that. But in relation to the shared gold medal, yeah, I don't mind it. If obviously one of them's feeling as though that he wasn't that confident he was going to jump it. So I can see why people don't like it, though.
Oh, as the athletes, I can totally understand why they've pounced on a gold medal. Like, I mean, I'd be taking it as well without risking the chance of it turning to a silver. But this is the next part I would have asked Luke Patton if he was on today, is this. Now, the Italian who shared the gold medal, one of his sort of rev-up plays was to turn to the crowd and get him to clap and really start to amp him up. Now, what you'd notice in the backdrop, it was a lot of Australians who were sat there watching him, and some of them were clapping and others in protest were doing nothing. And I'm thinking, what is Australian? Is Australian clapping the competitor who's taking on our own Aussie, being Brendan Stark? Is that being Australian to just clap and go along for the ride? Or brushing the clap in defiance for our man Brendan Stark? Is that Australian? Like, what's the real Australian thing to do in that scenario?
No. Yeah, no clap.
No clap.
Throw things. Throw as many things as possible in his run-up.
Yes.
That's what he's doing. I also reckon I also think the athlete from Qatar. Now, Qatar don't win too many gold medals, I would imagine. So I'm thinking the guy from Qatar goes, well, if I go back to Qatar with a silver, there's a chance I won't get fed ever again. But if I go back with a gold, I might get my own palace. So I think he's made the right decision.
Yeah. Uh-oh. Sorry, Sats. I've got to get this fax again. Do you mind standing by? Is that okay? It's another one of these. I try to change it up. It's another Dear Jared. I'm just pulling it out now. Do you mind if I read it with you,
yeah.
Sats, Joel? I mean, because obviously...
Yeah, go right ahead, Brian.
Okay. This is from a Sharon. How can I get my husband to talk about the fact that we've never had sex in the 25 years we've been together? I love my husband unconditionally, and I know that he loves me unconditionally. The problem is we have never had sex in 25 years. Not even on our wedding night. I've approached the subject with him on many occasions, but he refuses to discuss it. I know that he has a problem getting down in that area because on more than one occasion I found prescription Viagra in his car and in the house. What do I do? Now, Sats, I talk about this ad nauseum, about how you are a private investigator, and I'm sure this would happen often. To me, it sounds like he's playing up on her. If he's got... why else does he have Viagra?
Maybe he's going to some of those day clubs you used to venture out in your day, Brian. Those day clubs, those funky clubs.
Yeah.
Maybe he's got a fetish. Maybe he's got a fetish. I'm not quite sure.
No, I know, but she's just saying that for 25 years.
Well, for context, St. George were wearing torpedoes back in those days. That was 1996.
Yeah.
That's how long ago it's been since. That's
sure they couldn't stay married because, as we know, a healthy sex life equals a healthy marriage.
Exactly.
You know, I emceed a function once talking about Viagra, and the major sponsor of this luncheon on the Gold Coast once was an adult shop. He left a couple of little gift bags on the tables, and in the gift bags was this gel, and it was like a Viagra gel that he was trialing to see whether that would work. And I was emceeing that with former AFL great Spider Everett, and so what I did is I, when he went to the toilet, I got a couple of the Viagra gels and I squirted into his beer.
Oh, nice.
Anyway, so we were both up emceeing together. After about 45 minutes, he was pulling his shirt out. He was sitting down. He didn't want to stand up. And after about 2 hours, I told everyone what had happened. And he was standing at full mast for about 3 hours throughout the whole afternoon.
Oh, he should have sat down. Oh, geez, Satsy, what else is happening up there in the land of Queensland?
Oh, just all about the games, I suppose. What Brisbane is preparing for is obviously what's going to happen with the grand final. And talking to a few of the representatives from Stadiums Queensland, they're preparing for the grand final to be at Suncorp Stadium. Or they're thinking also, could we see what happened in Origin 1? Does it end up going maybe to Townsville? If it's going to be about crowds, and it can't happen in New South Wales. And if the current the current structure we're seeing at the moment with South East Queensland, that if it's not going to be at Suncorp, could it possibly go north where they're believing the heat is a pretty good deterrent with COVID, with the lack of numbers in North Queensland, far North Queensland. So it's either that or they take it to Melbourne. So I think in Queensland, what everyone's preparing for is that grand final week will be at Suncorp and Caxton Street will be closed off.
You there, Sats?
No, you got me.
Oh, he's there. Mate, before you go, have you got an A-grader for us?
A-grader. Everyone that keeps saying that if an athlete was a country, they'd be sitting somewhere on the medal tally list.
Oh,
the
yes.
The amount of medals they win, they go, if they were a country, they'd be coming
yes.
sixth.
Yes, that's what about a... We were talking earlier, Sats, about twists in movies. Is there any that come to mind for that?
Twists in movies?
Well, I'll give you some reference. I was watching Usual Suspects with the kids, and obviously the Kaiser Soze twist just rattled them. And then we went back to back with Primal Fear, which is another twist. So,
yep.
Can you think of anything at the top of your head?
You just stole it from me. That was the Edward Norton scene where he goes, "Way to go, Marty."
Yeah.
The Richard Gere.
That's right.
Yeah. One of the great twists in a movie.
Okay, yeah, I said that earlier, so have you got another one for us?
Maybe your mate Church can text it into us. We've got to run, Sats, but mate, we appreciate your time.
See you guys.